In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. Jordana, so good to be back here with you virtually again. You're down in South Carolina still?
I am down here. I'm coming back to New York this weekend. So by the time this episode comes out, I will be back.
Good. I'm pumped to have you back. And I'm pumped to be back here. Listen, people, we love doing this podcast. We love that we can give you a little break from the craziness of the world. We love that, and I say this a lot, this is the imagery I use, is that you can take your brain, put it on the shelf, and you can let Jordana and I take the wheel for an hour or whatever we do. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you for being a part of this show. We hope it helps you in whatever way it can help you. We're still taking emails. Jordana, we're still getting a lot of emails, right?
Yeah. Dating problems continue. And like, again, we said this last week, we'll continue to say it. If you don't really feel like you're in the mood to listen to a podcast about luxury issues, the dating issues, that's totally fine. But if you guys want a break, we're happy to be there to give you that break.
Also, we're encouraging you, like, listen, the amount dating has changed. Dating doesn't live in a vacuum. Dating is, as we saw with the quarantine, it created like a whole new, group
of issues.
Yeah,
a whole new host of issues.
A whole new thing. Like, if you would have ever told me, I remember when we first started taping these during the quarantine, I felt like I was watching myself in a movie. like when we would go, so let's talk about quarantine dating. I'd be like, I can't believe I even just said those words. And now it's like a fact of life. Now people are coming out of quarantine. People are going back into the real world. And now they're trying to figure out, is this guy or girl for real that I met over FaceTime and over the app? So again, this also relates to what's going on in the real world with the protests that are happening. You know, your dating life, I'm sure, is affected by the national conversation going on. So if you have emails about that, we would love for people to send those in, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, most of the emails we're getting are not about that, but we're happy to answer, any questions that you guys have regarding like dating in this kind of environment, or like give our two cents on it or anything.
And also this show, we do guests sometimes as well. And we're committed to bringing on a whole group of guests that can give different perspectives that we wouldn't be able to give. And that's coming in the future. So we want to let you guys know that if you do have these questions, Jordana and I aren't just going to like spout off about a perspective that we don't know. We're going to bring in the right people to be able to answer those questions. Just like we looking back, having Ronnie Chang on the episode because he did a Daily Show piece about being an Asian man on a dating app.
Right. It was about the difference between sexual preference and sexual racism. And that's one of our best episodes. I think that was a really interesting discussion that we had.
So interesting. And that's kind of what this show's about. Uncomfortable conversations had comfortably. Ronnie's a friend of mine. I love that guy. To talk to a friend and to hear that, that meme where it's like, someone listening to a podcast, but it's just them with the picture of the people laughing. That's what like this is all about. Yeah, this is what a podcast is for. Is for, you get to kind of be relieved of, maybe get to listen into a conversation that might be difficult to have. So we're happy to do that. Send those emails, though. We need your emails to be able to go, kind of push through that and talk about it in the context of this show. UUP@Betches.com. UUP@Betches.com.
Oh, also, I joined Twitter. So,
please go follow Jordana.
I just joined Twitter. I thought it was the perfect time to find a platform to engage in some some interesting discussions.
Yeah, for some rational discussions that happen on Twitter. Exactly. You're at Jordana Abraham, right?
Yes, it's just my full name. So
awesome. And I'm going back on the road. I'm going to start doing shows.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're figuring out the schedule, but this summer I'm going to be heading out. So if you want to know where I'm going, jaredfried.com, or just go to my Instagram. I'll be posting the cities that I'll be coming to. And yeah,
I
have
some stuff in New York.
Well, the New York stuff is tough because I think phase three is comedy clubs.
Okay.
So
at probably half capacity, I assume, or something.
Whatever it may be. But now, you know, a place like, you know, Texas, Florida, where you are, like there's clubs there that are opening up and we're going to figure some stuff out. So on my Instagram, I'll be coming and doing some shows and, you know, talking about all this stuff, you know, as best as I can from my own perspective and hopefully being funny about it and getting, you know, getting people to get out of their house and have a laugh. What are we talking about today, Jordana?
So today we are talking about, so I don't know if you guys are aware, but Betches is launching a show. It's called The Feeling is Virtual. And we happened to get an email from someone who's going to be on that show.
So to explain, The Feeling is Virtual, because Kay Brown at mm-hmm. Kay York City, who we both know and love, she came on my podcast, on J Train podcast, to kind of talk about this. It's basically like The Bachelorette, but on
virtually. Yeah.
So virtually. So you guys put out kind of a casting call, right?
Yes. So we put up a casting call for single men in the tri-state area who live around tri-state of New York.
Okay.
And you know, we had a bunch of guys apply. We got a really, I saw the preview for it. Got a great, generally seemed like a great cast. Okay. Guys from like, you know, upstate New York, New York, Brooklyn, Hoboken, whatever.
So these guys were like, you know, Kay, who is, you know, on my podcast, we talked about how she's recently out of a relationship. She's looking to get back out there, have fun, meet new people, meet new guys. And so she's our bachelorette, so to speak.
Yes.
And these guys, so now it's funny how like the internet is a vast universe. But as we have found out via this podcast, in the dating world, everything becomes connected at some point.
It is, yeah. It is very hard to be a shady dater in 2020, I have to say.
I got to say. So we received an email. Do you want to read the email that we received?
I'll read the email. I found it very entertaining.
And we got the go ahead from Kay to, you know, to read this. And you know, we want people to tune into The Feeling is Virtual.
The feeling is virtual.
And right. Now you, as a UUP listener, you can feel kind of involved in the show because you're getting the hot gossip, so to speak.
Exactly. So this listener writes in. She said, "Hi, Jared and Jordana, longtime listener here. I'm a huge fan of the podcast and love listening in every week for advice on dating. I have a unique situation that I'd like some advice on, and it relates to Betches."
Dun, dun, dun.
"Just before quarantine, my boyfriend of 2 years broke up with me on our anniversary." Jared is right when he says, "Beware on our anniversary." That's interesting. Yeah. He's like, "Well, your 3-year trial's over."
Yeah. "I will not be renewing this contract."
Sorry. "Jared is right when he says, beware birthdays, anniversaries, and holidays. I was trying to have a conversation about moving in together in a few months, and he kept trying to push the conversation off. Finally, he got up and left, saying he couldn't commit to me, and went completely no contact for weeks. It's been tough to move on during quarantine, but I've been trying my best, and I felt like it was..."
Hold on. I have to say, it is insane to be with someone for 2 years and then to just go no contact for weeks. That's crazy, right?
So he like... Basically, yeah. He basically broke up with her and then no contact.
Okay. So he broke up...
Well, he said he couldn't commit to me, and we went completely no contact for weeks.
And then just was like, poof, I'm gone. Yeah.
Can I tell you, I've actually heard of this happening. This has happened to a friend of mine where like the guy like breaks up with her like kind of in person and then just doesn't, like after a long-term relationship.
Yeah.
But like breaks up in a way that's sort of like not super like conclusive, talked out, like whatever, and then just like bounces, and she doesn't hear from him. Because like, see, I think a lot of guys are like afraid of being like talked into getting back together.
Well, I think it also has to do with like, you know, I think for me, it's like guys are very like we're like fixers, but we're also like get the job done. You know, the job is done. So to him, it might be, I have broken up. That is over. We don't have anything else to talk about because we are broken up.
Right. And I kind of understand that. Like, if you get fired, the person's not like checking in on you usually.
Sure. Sure.
But I do think if you've had an intimate relationship with someone, like, you should allow, you shouldn't be, you should allow them to like ask the questions they want to ask, and you know what
Listen,
I mean. Like,
we're getting
the conversation.
Totally, I agree with you, but we're getting one side of the story. I'm not saying, you know, I'll take her word for it, but the way she wrote it, it doesn't seem right. I mean, the way she wrote it, it doesn't seem right from his end. Finally, he got up and left, saying he couldn't commit to me, and went completely no contact for weeks. So, like, if I'm living with my girlfriend. Jess is sitting here and I just go, I can't commit. And then I just walked out the door. I would be like, that's not enough. But if I
sat here.
Well,
you wouldn't be able to do that because you live together. But if you didn't live together, if you didn't live together, I mean, imagine you were in the phase right before this. She was talking. Imagine like Jess is talking to you about moving in together. Mm-hmm. She's like, I want to move in. I want to move in. I want to move in. You're kind of like delaying the conversation. And then you're like, listen, I can't move forward. Like, I can't give you what you want. You bounce. That's basically what happened here.
Sure. Okay. I'm just saying, like, to me, if I was to do that before we moved in and I was like, hey, Jess, I can't commit, that would be like a whole night conversation. If it goes less than like 3 hours, I would think it's not enough. But if it goes like a 3 hour, like we're breaking up, I would understand the no contact thing.
You would have to walk away with like a plan. Almost, I feel like, for it to be
to unravel kind of what you guys have tied together.
Right. Because I mean, even if you're like, I feel like to be like, okay, well, like, I don't want to do this anymore. And that's like the last time you speak to them seems like.
It seems weird.
Right. But I think that guys actually do this a lot from what I've heard.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, I know that if in every relationship that I ended, it wasn't 2-year relationships, but I was like, I would go over in most cases. I've obviously made mistakes in the past with how I've broken up, but like in my what I would consider my best breakups, I went to the apartment, talked it out, and then I was like, this is over, and walked out the door and didn't talk again. I guess I've done that. But if
right.
they
I think a lot of if, I've heard of that happening a lot, yeah.
But if they were to reach out to me, I don't think I would ignore it. I think I would try and like put a bow on it as best as I could.
Right. I've heard girls who have been like, yeah, we broke up, and then he like, I didn't hear from him. And like part of me thinks oh, that's like, that makes sense because you're not in a relationship anymore. And part of me does think that it's, there is a sense of like this no transition period. Like,
well this is
like,
this
at what stage do you deserve like a trans, because also like even in the conversation where someone's breaking up with you, you might not, everything that you wanted to ask may have come to mind. Like, well, you might think about something that you wanted to talk about after that.
The person ending it is in a no-win position, because let's say this guy ends it and then the next week he goes, just want to check in on you. You'd be like, well, what the fuck? I'm trying to get over you. Why are you checking in on me? We've gotten enough emails here that it's like, why would he keep texting me after we're done? And it's like, well, then what's the right answer? There's no right answer.
Yeah, I get that. I just think for like the longer you've been dating, the more like the clean sweep of like the relationship just seems like colder.
Sure.
Like, you're dating someone for 3 months and then you go over there and you're like, I can't be in a relationship. Like, I would not expect them to be like contacting you.
I know.
But people don't get divorced in one conversation.
Well, that's the other thing. It's like, this isn't a divorce. We have no kids together. We are just two people that were trying to figure it out. And I figured out I don't want to be with you. And it's like, I don't know what else to say to that. That would be like my response. I don't know how else to put this and what we need to do now. But, you know, I don't know. I think it's right. Gray enough to not have a right or a wrong. But the way she describes it, I'd be like, wow, it happened like that. Like, if I was at a dinner table with her, I would go, wait. So I would stop the story just like I'm stopping it with you. I would go, wait a minute. He said, I can't commit, walked out the door, and never spoke to you again.
Right. That's what In his mind, he was probably like, I broke up with her. In her mind, she's probably like, oh, he said like he's having a hard time committing.
The truth is somewhere.
Him again.
The truth is somewhere in the middle. It has to be.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll finish the email. She goes,
please do.
It's been tough to move on during quarantine. I've been trying my best, and I felt like I was really getting to a much better place. Then the other day, I was scrolling through Instagram when I see a post from Betches at K York City advertising her virtual dating show, The Feeling is Virtual. And one of the contestants looked familiar. Yes, it was my ex. My heart dropped when I saw this and immediately felt sick and kind of humiliated. How could someone I saw a future with be so quick to jump into a virtual dating show as a contestant? When I confronted him about it, he apologized and said that he went on as a business decision. I'm embarrassed that I saw myself hopefully marrying this guy one day, when in the end, I guess he cares more about being a clout chaser. The funny thing is that I actually listened to Jared's podcast with Kay about getting through a breakup during quarantine a few weeks ago to try to help myself. So the whole thing is sort of ironic in a fucked up way. Now I know how Peter Weber's ex-girlfriend must have felt. I guess my question is, do I have any right to feel hurt by this? Does this mean that our relationship meant nothing to him? Does this make me look like I was a joke to him? I understand wanting to move on after a breakup is normal, and I'm trying to date too, but doing it so publicly feels like a real slap in the face. How do I move on without letting this drive me crazy?
I think this is an amazing email because it, you know, even though it also is helping to promote another Betches endeavor, which we will admit to. So Feeling is Virtual.
You can hear them talk about what's about to.
I think Kay might call this person out a little bit. So this is kind of gives you some behind the scenes, you know, gossip, which is fun.
Right.
I do think though it is a relevant and relatable email because there's this like weird thing of like, how are you supposed to act after the breakup? And you know, it's interesting that like her first question is, do I have any does this mean our relationship meant nothing to him? If going back to how she describes the breakup, if the breakup was I can't commit and then he just walks out and he doesn't talk to you again, then yeah, maybe he wasn't taking this relationship as seriously as you were.
Right. I agree with that. And then also I think that if he's like jumping on this dating show right away that like, the person doesn't just decide that they want to break up the day that they break up with you.
I always say the dumper has been thinking this for at least 2 weeks.
Right. The dumper has been breaking up with you in his head for like a bit before they actually pull the trigger, especially if you're bringing up these move-in conversation talks and they're like not being responsive to that and kind of pushing off the conversation. To me, that signifies that the person was over this a lot longer ago than they let you know, which I agree. I feel for this girl because it sucks to feel like someone was like really with you for any amount of time when they didn't want to be.
Well, they're giving like you faking, lip service. They were giving you lip service it. Too. Yeah.
Because it makes you think about like, oh, like at one point did I think it makes you feel delusional.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Makes you feel like, oh, like I thought things were going really well, but I guess I'm just like totally not aware of like anything that's going on.
Yeah. I thought right. I was so in tune. I mean, I understand the move on after a breakup. I think like also like, you know, to as far as like for Kay's benefit, you know that this guy isn't looking to get serious. I think it's like this email. And the advice I'm giving is to benefit two people. It's the person writing in and also Kay, who's, you know, kind of going through these eligible bachelors. And I think with any dating scenario, you want to know, like, where does the person stand? Are they in a headspace that is giving this a real shot to be something when I'm giving it a real shot to be something. So right. I think
that's the hardest thing to figure out if you're not very well practiced at it, is to spot the guys who are like actually in it to like for potentially something deeper. And I know that like you said, like most guys are like, yeah, I would, but I'm also like down to not. But
sure. I think for guys, you also you have to just be open to it. I think when you're just closed off to the idea of long, you know, if he's going on this show for quote unquote the wrong reasons, which is hilarious that this is something we're talking about, but then the wrong reasons are I'm going on for exposure. I don't care who was the eligible bachelorette. I'm just going on to go on. And I do think that that decision is made independently of your last relationship. I think this person, I do understand, I think male or female, it is totally understandable to feel badly about how your ex, you know, what direction your ex's life takes from you.
Immediately. Like after. I mean, that's why it hurts so much when people get left for other people.
Sure.
And I mean, it's like, that's like amplified.
It's amplified. You're also living a lie. You're also looking at like that person's like you're basically doing it's like, oh, it's them versus me, which it isn't. That's just never the case. I think like I don't think this guy was like I think what he's looking for is some sort of fun, quote unquote, and he considers this like a chance at being light and not being in something serious and a chance at like being online, I guess, and getting a following of some sort. But I do think when you're with someone for 2 years, you are taking it, you just by nature of being in it, not delusional, he had to have been taking it seriously.
Right. I don't think this negates like the, you know what I mean? The realness of their relationship.
No,
I don't because if you don't date someone for 2 years, because you're fucking around and because you don't take them seriously at all. So I don't think, I think she's making it about the relationship, and it's not about that. It's more about like this guy.
Well, and it's also more about like, I mean, you know, looking at him from another angle. When you're with someone, you look at them from the angle of, I love this person. And sure they do this, but they do, you know, but they're a nice person and I love them. Sure, they have their faults. Like, but he's my Jeremy, you know, like I'm sure there's plenty of times where Jess looks at something disgusting that I do and goes, that's my Jared, you know, like, and then the minute you're out of the relationship and like the person has left you, you go
they're like, that's Jared. Right.
That was my Jared. Like the whole tone changes. So I mean, also she gave us his Instagram. I looked at it. I looked at this guy and I was like, there's nothing about this guy that said to me, settling down. Like I know,
he had a girlfriend for two years. For me, like that's maybe that's the difference between how like girls might look at a guy and you with your, you know, all knowing sense look at a guy. Cause I'm like, oh, he was in a 2 year relationship. He can commit.
Sure.
He's 31. That seems like an age where a lot of men are like fine with long-term relationships and sort of somewhat, I don't know about like, I guess he's in real estate. I don't know how well he's doing there. But for me, of like very quick glance, I'd be like, there's no reason to believe this person isn't necessarily interested.
I looked at his Instagram and I was like, this guy is not ready to make someone else the star.
Okay.
I think there's an element of like, I looked at it and I was like, yeah, I don't think we're going to be seeing like pictures of a baby in 2 years. Like, I don't think we're going to see
What are the indicators of that?
I think, you know, I'm out there on Instagram. So I'm saying this from the perspective of someone who's also out there and putting up stuff that someone could look at and be like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? You know, like I think people could say that about me pretty easily. But I also think that like, you would see pictures of, you know, me with my family and my girlfriend and somewhere on the page and you go, oh, okay, there's other qualities here. I don't know. I just looked at the profile and I kind of got this like,
It's just a vibe.
It's a vibe. It was too coordinated. Like, you know, I think there's a level of trying that goes on to being single that you don't, you're not trying in that way anymore.
Right.
If that makes any sense. Like,
I kind of see what you're saying. It's like, you're kind of like, you're not like overanalyzing the, how you look in the picture that you put up.
No. Yeah. Like that. And also like it's the difference between what bars I would go to now versus what I would go to if I wasn't in a relationship. Like I'm not looking to go to a bar without chairs. Like I'm not looking to stand at, like, I remember before the quarantine started, I opened for Michelle Wolf in DC, and our friend, Cypher Sounds, also did part of the show. He's a great comedian. He also used to be a DJ in New York City, so he knows every club, like, everywhere. So he got us into this, like, nightclub. And I remember, and I wasn't drinking at the time, and I remember we're walking through this nightclub, and I'm doing, like, I'm trying to, like, you know, move through people and trying to, like, get to a place.
Oh, I thought you were showing me a dance move there.
This is my new dance move. This is my new, yeah. I was, like, trying to sift through the club because it was very packed. And then we got to this table because Sypha knew the guy at the table. And we get there, and there was, like, 4 minutes where we weren't sitting down. And there wasn't anywhere to sit. And I remember thinking, I'm leaving here in 10 seconds. I remember thinking... My mind went straight to, how am I going to get the fuck out of here?
But if you were single...
If I was single, I would never think of that. I would be looking like, okay, who was making enough eye contact with me for me to go talk to and embarrass myself in front of? You know, like, it would be a different mindset. We did get chairs, and we ended up sitting, and then I was there for an hour, and I was like, oh, if we didn't have these... All I talked about was the chairs. Like, that was, like, my whole...
That's how you know you still got it.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm saying, to relate this back to his profile, it felt like there was other things that he was worried about than being in a serious
long-term. Right. So then I think to her, I would say, she says, how do I move on without letting this drive me crazy?
What do you think? I mean, I just know it's not about her. I think this guy is looking to, like, you know, like, I think when you get out of a relationship, it's like, especially men, if they've been in 2-year relationships, they're like, I got to see what the apps are like. I got to, you know, like, it's like running. It's like, kind of like, I think a lot of men see that first few months out of a relationship, if they're in something long term, where they're running into the amusement park and they don't know which ride to take first.
Right. And it sucks to be able to, like, have to be able to see that happen publicly in front of you. You know what I mean? Like, But I would just think of this as, like, a larger version of, like, following someone on social media, right? So it's like, if I were this girl, I would not watch the show. I'm going to start with that. Everyone else should watch the show, but this girl who wrote in should not watch the show.
This emailer has a free pass from the person who started Betches, one of the co-creators of Betches, to unfollow Betches. The words that shall never be said on this podcast again.
That's the only time you'll hear me say it, and it's only for this one specific girl. I would not watch the show. I mean, the best way to get over someone is to really, like, again, make it not a... Remember every time you think of a... For me, it's usually every time you think of something that positive from the relationship, just remind yourself that, like, it wasn't as perfect as you're now, like, in your head making it out to be. So remind yourself of that, and just, like, unfollow anything that person is associated with, because it's going to make it a lot easier. And then also just allowing yourself to feel shitty for a little bit.
Totally. And also, here's the other thing. Here's what she's doing is, it's okay to learn from your past. It's okay to be like, yeah, the next guy I date, I'm going to be on the lookout for a couple things I wouldn't have been on the lookout before. I think that's, like, I think a lot of, like, we kind
that
of
also
live
gives
in-
you. That gives meaning to the relationship, because you're like, now I have information that I didn't have, but I have more dating experience and I have more information than I had before I dated this guy.
Absolutely. We live in a society of people who can't take the loss. No one ever wants to admit right now that they were wrong, because then they could look back and because it's all online, it's all out there. So, like, it's tougher to be like, yeah, that relationship wasn't for me, when there's pictures up from it a year ago where you look happy. It's easier to talk about it without the receipts being out there. So I think we live in, you know, our whole generation, because there's so much online, now we're like, instead of being like, yeah, that relationship, if I could go back, I wouldn't have done this. I probably would have ended it earlier. Instead, you go, I don't care. That's me. That's my truth. And it's like, no, you can just say, yeah, this was a, I'm happy I learned about this about myself, and that about myself. And I wouldn't have done this, this, and this again. Like, I think
I'll have less tolerance for this going forward, or totally. I'll vocalize my feelings about this going forward.
It's totally okay to look back at experiences and go, okay, lesson learned. Let's move on without it feeling like it was a waste of your life. And I think I do understand her feeling where it's like you're watching this person that you thought you knew acting in a way that is just not what you knew. And now someone that you thought wasn't an online person is all of a sudden an internet sensation from the, right. the you know, the feeling is virtual. Like, I just think that this is like, it's normal and it's okay to learn. Like every relationship I got out of, I never got out of a relationship and thought the person I was with was a bad person. I was more worried, and I think this has been good for me. I was more worried about like, how do I improve? How do I be, pick a better partner for me?
Right. And I mean, I think it's totally okay to feel shitty. It's very painful to see your ex publicly with anyone or trying to date anyone. That's like a thing that no one should have to see.
Absolutely. I do also understand, and, you know, like we were talking about, like, you know, like the idea of like laughing at a funeral, like you're having a funeral for this relationship and he's off dancing on the feeling is virtual. He doesn't see it in your, you know, his version of the truth is different than your version of the truth. His reality is different than your reality. And also his reality isn't to get you. So I think that's the thing that's really important.
For sure. And I would avoid any kind of comparisons to anyone you do wind up seeing him date, whether that's Kay or anyone else. There's a very interesting piece for anyone who kind of has had this issue, or this girl in particular. There's a New York Times opinion piece called My Ex-Boyfriend's New Girlfriend is Lady Gaga.
Oh, yeah. I remember when that came out. I never read it, but I remember when it came out because I remember there was this whole thing about it. Like that got pretty viral.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was kind of just like this, like, she's a New York Times writer, so she's not like the most average of people, but like relatively average. But like just totally under the radar.
Lady Gaga.
Right. Yeah. She gets texted all her friends, like, look at the news. And it's like her boyfriend, like Lady Gaga sitting on her boyfriend's lap. Which is like, and she's like, I remember the article just being like, I'm like, she's like a huge fan of Lady Gaga. So now she kind of like doesn't really know like where to place her.
Yeah. And also this is a message to Kay, beware of this dude. I think that's definitely a red flag.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been seeing a therapist for many years now, and one of the things that I've learned from therapy is that I'm pretty introverted, and a lot of the time socializing with people can drain me. So I've really learned how to have that right balance of going out, socializing, meeting people, but also making sure I have enough alone time to actually feel like I'm coming back to myself, because that's kind of where I thrive. And therapy has really helped me realize that. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
You guys know I'm a huge fan of Skims, and with warmer weather coming, I recently tried out one of their t-shirts. Skims makes the best basics and foundations, so it's no surprise that it's the best fitting tee I've ever worn. Finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge, whether it's the fit or the quality, but with Skims, they make the most flattering shirts for everyone. I love anything that Skims makes. They have like the most incredible material. I have the soft, smoothing, seamless t-shirt in Onyx. It is so amazing. It has like amazing versatility. I wear it to dress up. I wear it to dress down. I just wore it to the airport. It was like a great shirt to wear that was like super comfy on the plane, but also super flattering. And I also tried the cotton jersey t-shirt. As cotton t-shirts go, it is incredible. It's honestly like a step up for any other cotton t-shirt that I own. It hits me at all of the right places and it fits like a dream. Skims t-shirts are made with innovative technology while always keeping style and comfort in mind. From crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, Skims has something for every fit and every body. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
You want to do some awkward sex?
Let's do it.
Hey, J&J, thanks for keeping me laughing during work from home days. So I have an awkward sex story for you. I met up with this guy at a hockey game through Hinge right before quarantine happened, and we hit it off instantly. Granted, I was slightly tipsy. He was with his buddy at the game, and I went over to their section and hung out for a bit. The game started to get boring, so we ended up deciding to leave and go out to the bars. Mind you, I am with him and his friend, who kept flirting with me when he was paying attention, which was super awkward. Anyways, we got pretty drunk and ended up going back to his place. I knew I had a dog allergy, so he washed his sheets, which I'm now looking on it that he knew he was going to score.
Basically, she's looking back at it being like, oh, he washed his sheets. He knew we were going to like hook up.
And then she writes, ha ha. Okay. We end up having sex that night, which I somewhat remember.
He washed his sheets and like while she was there?
Yeah, this is strange. I guess he washed his sheets before she had gotten there.
Okay. But didn't they just meet?
I met up with this guy. I read this horribly in defense of this emailer. I met up with this guy at a hockey game through Hinge. So they met on Hinge. They met at the hockey game right before quarantine happened, and we hit it off instantly. And granted, I was slightly tipsy. He was with his buddy at the game, and I went over to their section.
Oh, okay. They met on Hinge, but then they met for the first time.
That she was going to be there. He washed his sheets. The game started to get boring. We ended up deciding to leave and go out to the bars. Mind you, I am with him and his friend who kept flirting with me when he wasn't paying attention, which was super awkward. Anyways, we got pretty drunk and ended up going back to his place. He knew I had a dog allergy, so he washed his sheets, which I now look back on that he knew he was going to score. Ha ha. We ended up having sex that night, which I somewhat remember. And then next morning, when I was okay, I'm going to defend myself a little bit. Her writing sucks too. Okay.
Yeah. Sentence structure is not the best.
No.
And we ended up writing in.
Thank you for writing in. But we ended up having sex that night, which I somewhat remember. And then next morning.
Let me redo the sentence. We wound up having sex the night before, which I barely remembered, and then we had sex again the next morning.
Yeah, I almost fucking had a seizure from that sentence. When I was searching for my clothes, he made some comment about how it was really hot when I was shoving my face into the pillow. The sex must have been really good, according to him. In reality, I couldn't keep looking at his horrible facial expressions while we were having sex. They consisted of some winks, biting the lip, and looking deep into my soul. And his hip bones were slamming into mine, which was extremely painful. Needless to say, I let him think it was the best sex.
It's funny that she's like putting her face in the pillow because she's like trying not to laugh.
Is that what it was?
I don't know. Maybe I guess she just like, she's saying she just like didn't want to see it because it was probably like turning her off.
Yeah.
But like,
he's like, oh, you were biting like, that pillow.
Right. She was, I'm picturing her just like trying to not laugh like in the middle of it, which is like horrifying for a man to think, I'm sure.
I mean, let me give a note to the emailer. I don't understand why it was important to put that the friend kept flirting with her. Like, I understand it was a weird night, but you did go home with him. At some point, you left the friend, right?
Yeah.
I mean, don't know. So
I guess it's not really relevant to, she added it in for color.
I guess for color. What would you call this sexual experience? Also, before we get into the names, have you dealt with it? Like, from a male point of view, I don't know what he should have been doing, not looking at her. I know winking? Winking and biting the lip is a lot, is a little too much.
I feel like the biting the lip is like a thing that girls do a lot of the time. Not to like yes, say that men can't do it.
Sure.
But I think the winking would like make me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, the wink from... also, what are you trying to say with the wink? Like, pretty right. good, huh? Hey, just checking in on you. Wink! Like the wink is like an exclamation point on the joke. It's not really the exclamation point on the thrust.
Right. Like,
it's a weird move.
How would you want the eye...
Because I get this sometimes from Jess. Like, we'll kiss, and sometimes I'll just keep my eyes open to see what's going on. You know, keep patrolling.
Right.
And then she'll make fun of me. She'll be like then she'll widen her eyes. And then we'll do this like
then
open
you're
eye kiss.
Staring into each other's eyes. Yeah. Sounds and now very we're just, romantic. I think
we go from kissing to like making fun of the fact that we're kissing.
I feel like eye contact is like nice if you have to feel every sexual situation is different. There's more intimate sex and then there's like less intimate sex. So like you kind of have to feel out the vibe of where that's going. So like in like a quickie, the intense eye contact I think is like not really necessary.
Sure.
If you're having like a loving, intimate version of sex, then I think that like it's fine. But the winking, I think would make it weird. I think
I think it's funny that the sex must have been really good. No, I think men just need to stop. Like, you are opening yourself up to be the laugh of the century if you assume how the sex was. Every time I have sex, I'm just assuming it was the worst experience of that person's life. And so that they can't make fun of me for thinking that I thought it was good.
Maybe it's a girl thing, but I feel like I know, like, you know when it's good, don't you? Like, guys don't know when it's good.
I from this podcast, I have no idea when it's good anymore. Like, I think guys know. I think we know. I think what we ours are, the way we come is so 1 + 1 = 2. That like the idea of like a sexual experience being like, there are bad sexual experience for guys, don't get me wrong, but I'm saying like the idea, like I guess like the medium sex is good enough, you know,
right.
Where like the medium sex might like where like it's tough for me as a man to understand that if a woman doesn't get off, that she still had a good time. And I know that can be true, right?
Well, here...
Jess just said yes to try and make me feel better from the background, but I don't.
No, I don't want to speak for everyone.
Well,
but for
have you enjoyed sex where you didn't get off?
100%.
Okay.
For me, it's like, I mean, that's like a great perk of it happening, but like, I think that it can be great regardless. It feels good. I think it's different for men, or it's different, at least from my personal experience. Mm-hmm. I think it can be great even without that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think for this situation, it's like sort of indicative of how, like, if you're on the fence about a guy, that first time that you sleep with him is like, will really turn you one way or another. Like, you know, when we talk about how it's like, it's creepy until it's hot, or like, it's hot or it's creepy. Like, this is like she was probably like not really sure. And then she like slept with him, and then like through, I guess, this lack of whatever she thought was sexual chemistry, like everything kind of became this turn off.
I totally understand that especially for one thing that she wrote, like his hip bones. If you're talking about hip bones, that is now like, I've now pictured this guy to be a tall, like Big Bird looking guy. And it's like now you're like accentuating the parts that make you unattracted to him.
Right. You weren't into him.
Yeah. You just weren't into him.
Right. The same guy someone else would probably describe as like super hot. If it's like, and I hate to like put so much pressure on that first time for guys,
sure.
But I do kind of feel like it's almost like, I mean, it's bad for you, but then like the after part is like, if we're into it, is almost bad for us. Because I think that like, if we've in our head, like made ourselves think that it was like really good. And I do think it's not just about coming or not coming. There is something about like a sexual, like energy and like connection thing there. I think if we decide that it was like good, like we are like much more invested than we were before the sex.
Kind of to your point, there was one time Jess and I were having sex and she was on top of me and I went in like literally like half a pump, like so quick. Okay. It was like she could have gone like this and I would have came. She could have like blown at my penis, like, and I would have like gone. So I half a pump, I come and I look at her, I go, I'm sorry, my bad. And she was like, ugh, don't fucking say that. Just let me get off, you know, let me, you know, and it was this like thing where that I don't really, you know, like I'm just like, ah, my bad. Sorry about that. And to her, it was like not almost acknowledging it made it worse, you know, like, and she,
yeah,
what did you say, Jess? She's behind me. You said like, she goes, don't ever apologize while you're still inside of me. And I just kept thinking it was like the worst Yelp review ever. Like if she had written about it, she was like, terrible. He's apologizing while he's still inside of me. 0 stars.
I'm telling you, it's a lot of it in our, for us is like a mental thing.
Well, or I think that's
again,
good,
for me,
that's good for guys to know. Like the, you know, like the idea of like, you know, you want to have all the bells and whistles. Like sometimes just like, you know, bringing in like the candle and putting the lighting right would help your bad sex, you know, improve
to an extent. Or like, I mean, there is a such thing as, I don't want to make this lose-lose for men, but there is a such thing as feeling like someone is like trying too hard. I don't even think it's like a man's like fault. I don't even think it's like a man's fault. I think it's about like this like sexual like energy that someone either feels or doesn't feel that they like find out very quickly when they sleep with you. And I think this whole like friend zone problem that a lot of guys have is because a woman just doesn't feel that. It's not really like personal.
Two people can not connect. It, you know, one person's wink is another person's cum, you know, like.
I don't think for men, the like, oh, or they're ever like, oh, there was like this sexual energy that was like great, or like there was just no sexual energy. I feel like men can like sleep with anyone that they find attractive.
Well, I hear it is like a little bit like pizza. I think sex in general is a little like pizza for men where like you're just, bad pizza is good pizza, you know, like that type of thing. But I do think you can not hit it off with some men. It happens all the time where you're like, oh, we can't dance together. You know, like we're not fitting. We're not finding. And it sometimes you're in situations where it's like, sometimes with sex, you're used to doing things your way. And if someone comes in first time, you're trying to figure out, okay, you know, how do we get in the same rhythm? And sometimes people's rhythms just don't go together. That can happen too. I've been in that situation, but I would agree that, you know, I think once you're there, I think like when it comes to like, was this good or bad? You know, again, also like not to take away we have people that write in all the time like, oh, he didn't come. And I'm like, well, that can happen too. And you can, you know, I'm sure he's more upset at himself and it wasn't about you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I just think this thing about like the sexual like chemistry thing is kind of funny because like it feels like I can imagine a man being like, what do you mean? Like we don't, especially if it's like a one-sided thought of like a girl just being like, I think you're great on paper. You're attractive. I just like don't feel it. And a guy being like, well, I don't really understand what that means. But I could see, I feel like it's sort of like to me, if I put myself then, put it in a different situation, I think of a girl who's like a guy is like, I just can't commit. And she's like, well, what do you mean? Like, we have such a great time together. Like, what's the reason? And like, to me, it seems like almost that same like invisible, like this just isn't going to be like it for me.
Here's what I would say. I agree with you because no guy will ever go, I don't know, her hip bones just really turned me off. Like, I don't think that's ever going to happen. What would you call this?
I'd call it pillow talk. Wink emoji.
The wink emoji. Smirky sex. Just like I just think of him smirking. The winker.
Winker like winker, I like it.
Something about the pillow. Pillow talk. Did you say that already?
Yeah, it's okay.
That's okay. I'm going through.
If you guys have any suggestions, email them in, uup@betches.com.
Would this be a deal breaker for you if on the first time some guy's winking at you during sex?
I feel like I'd be like a little turned off by it, but if I liked a guy enough, I think I'd get over it.
What's worse, the winking and the facial expressions or the assuming that you loved it?
The assuming that you loved it is like pretty narcissistic trait to me.
Sure.
So yeah.
So that's like you always
want to date someone who's a little insecure. That's the lesson.
That's it. Well, yeah. I think that's an interesting question because like the fact that he said must have been really good is like the most turning off thing from a personality standpoint. He's looking if he's looking lovingly into your eyes, like how do you complain about that? Like that's just what he does, you know?
Right. Which is not, it's only a bad thing if you don't like the person.
Exactly.
There's no better feeling than spinning around in a salon to see your hair looking absolutely perfect. But it feels impossible to keep up that same look at home. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier, and I'm finally seeing the shinier, healthier looking hair I've always wanted. It's like I'm salon fresh every time. I have hair that is pretty thin and hard for me to grow, so I love the hair serum. I love that I can put it in wet hair or dry hair. It doesn't make my hair feel oily. It's a super lightweight serum. I just like the way it feels in my hair, and I love that I'm helping my hair to be healthier and I'm helping it to grow, which are two things I've struggled with for a long time. I am super pumped because I love, love, love these products. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. When it comes to seeing results, the key is consistency. For best results, use for a minimum of 3 months for visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker looking hair. When I sign up for a monthly subscription, I can get one bottle or three bottles sent. Plus, I save more and I never run low on the products I need to take care of my hair. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/UUP and use code UUP at checkout. That's vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP to save 20% on your first order. vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's do some emails. You ready? UUP@Betches.com, UUP@Betches.com. You want to take it?
Yes. Hey, J&J, longtime listener. I've always wanted to write in. Thank you for the work you do and especially for speaking out in support of Black Lives Matter last episode. Jordana, I don't think you get nearly enough credit for how funny you are since Jared's technically the comedian, but you are hilarious. I promise I didn't write that in for myself.
Listen, they're very right. You are hilarious, but you don't have to down me to bring you up.
I agree.
Jared's technically a comedian. Thanks, Mom. Did my mom write this?
I don't think she was necessarily... whatever. I don't know.
I'm kidding around.
Thanks.
Listen. Yeah.
I appreciate it. But again, Jared, I don't even know what to say anymore.
That's my narcissism showing now.
Anyway, I'm 26 years old, out of New York City. I met this girl back in February, and we hit it off instantly, going on five-hour dates, texting all day, staying in each other's places on the weekends. She's amazing, but obviously COVID hit in mid-March, and I ended up flying home to LA to stay with my parents and waited it out. Fast forward to now, 3 months later, and I just decided to end my lease in New York and stay in LA since my office isn't requiring us to be in person until 2021.
This is happening a lot. This is the great... flood of people leaving New York City and, other major cities for, better living circumstances.
Right. I mean, who would want to live in Manhattan if they didn't? Who would want to pay the amount of money, the exorbitant amount of rent that we all have to pay if you didn't have to?
Well, the idea, I think a lot of people move here as far as they're around young people. There's bars, there's people to meet. But then. The minute your job doesn't exist either. That could be other places. So I understand. Yeah, people are leaving.
Sorry, let me.
Sorry for interrupting, but I think it is interesting that people are, like, I talk about this with Jess all the time, where it's like, you know, I'm here for comedy. Well, technically doing comedy, but I all the clubs are gone this summer. So like, there's a piece of me that's like, what, you know, so now I'm just dealing with New York City bullshit just to be
right.
To not
it's like
be
the bullshit is worth it for all the other stuff.
Yeah, the bullshit's worth it to do 30, that there's 15 comedy clubs I can get up at every night. So, and like, you know, the bullshit's worth it to like, you know, be able to meet you guys, meet Betches, and for us to collaborate. And the minute you take away all that stuff and the access to like networking and working, you start to wonder like, what am I doing here? You know?
I agree. Fast forward to now, 3 months later, I just decided to end my lease and stay in LA since my office isn't opening. This girl and I have still been talking every day and FaceTiming occasionally, but it's definitely decreased since I made this decision. As initially, I was thinking we'd be together again come June and it would only be a short, long distance. My question, what should I do about this quasi-relationship? I'm so torn because I like her so much, but I hate long distance, and that has always been a deal breaker in past relationships. It just isn't for me, and I don't want to get back to New York City in January, and I've technically been with her for 11 months, but never have gotten to develop that deeper level of intimacy and actually being with another person. But at the same time, it's not like I'm dating anyone else, so maybe it's fine to keep doing what we're doing. But also the fact that there are no other options seems like a shitty reason to stay with someone. An added layer is that as I consider ending things with her, I'm pretty upset with myself for how much I held back at the beginning of our relationship, thinking we had so much time. I don't feel like I expressed...
this guy sounds like he went off to war.
Well, this is a girl, actually.
I thought it was a dude.
No, it's a girl. We'll get into that at the end of the email.
Reveal. Look at my... my preconceived notions are showing.
There you go. I don't feel like I expressed well enough how much I liked her because I was still coming to terms with my own sexuality. Oh. I also kind of thought this would be my moment to finally come out to my parents, my remaining friends who don't know, and just be out in public with another woman without feeling all this shame. I don't want this to be another excuse to hide who I really am when I finally just started feeling comfortable. Would love to hear your thoughts on this. You don't deal with a lot of gay issues, LOL, so excited to hear how you approach this one. Thanks again for doing the Lord's work. Signed, Queer in Quarantine.
Well, I really appreciate this woman writing in. Let me apologize for making any assumptions. They weren't meant with any ill will. It is funny that she writes about this in such a... It is funny that if a guy wrote this, it wouldn't... Like, I went to make fun of the thing that wasn't normal to me.
For a woman, it's kind of like, oh, that makes... For me, I was like, oh, that makes sense. Like, that's how I would evaluate, like, a long-distance thing for myself, too. Not to gender stereotype again, but, like, that's just how we were both, I think, probably thinking about it.
Sure.
So I definitely think it's important when, you know, we're reading this email, we're answering this email, just to remember that like we kind of have this like implicit bias. We are two straight people. So, and we're not therapists. So we also don't know what it's like to kind of have to navigate coming out. She did write in, and I want to answer it. I want to give the dating advice to the best of our abilities. So I just wanted to preface it with like, we might not fully understand the complexities that go into this, but given everything that we know, like we're going to give it a shot. I think this email is also really interesting just because like, I think it speaks to like what a weird time in the world it is right now where people are like, people who are like already dealing with their own like general shit now have to like add in the combined shit of like the complete like unknown of the world and like where like even like the idea that like there might not be like the same back to normal as it was,
you know, listen,
6 months ago is like
everyone
coupled with her wanting to come out and like she was going to do that before. And then now like, should I even do that? Like, I totally get the whole sense of like, I have no certainty about like the future. And like, there's like all these combining things.
Everyone's a cocktail and now you're adding like a lime to it. You know, like you're just like, what is this new mix? You know, it's your life in the post-COVID, post-quarantine, there is a pre and post to all this stuff. I agree. It's an interesting email because, again, for the turn it took at the end, I think, how would you handle this, Jordana? I have some opinions.
Well, my first thought is like, I understand, I can relate to the layer of like, I should, like, looking back on like early parts of a relationship and having regret. I think like, obviously this is a unique circumstance of like something you couldn't have predicted at all. But like, I think that for that part, I would just say where she goes, I'm upset with myself for how much I held back in the beginning of our relationship, thinking we had so much time. I think that part is like, I would not like beat yourself up for that at all. I feel like if you did that, that might have backfired. I think there's such thing as like forcing intimacy too fast in a way that isn't like naturally progressing. So mm-hmm. I think that part I would like, just because there's so many parts to this question, I would say that like you did nothing wrong there. And I think if you did the opposite, you might have regretted it. As for the coming out part and how that plays into this, to me, they're like two separate things, which she's sort of intertwining into each other. Like, she seems like she wants to almost maintain the relationship, so she has like a reason to come out now.
Mm.
Do you see that?
I kind of interpreted it differently. Like,
what did you think?
So I hear what you're saying. Like, I think when there's so much in a issue, like when there's so many pieces to an issue, it can feel like it's so much and you just take care of nothing. And right. I think it's always easier to go one by one. And that makes like, so I think like, first of all, the worst decision is indecision. I think like when you make a decision to move forward and understand that this decision to move forward might hurt or might, you know, but it's also an experience. So you're going to get to learn about yourself. I do like what she said. I don't feel like I expressed. So she says, I don't feel like I expressed well enough how much I liked her because it's still coming to terms with my own sexuality. It's never too late. I don't understand where it's like you didn't miss your chance to tell this person how much you were feeling them at the time. And it's okay to go, well, because we've been away, it's hard to concentrate on this thing. So I think it's okay to like, I think this, like, the long-distance stuff, like, nobody wants a long-distance relationship. There's this whole thing of, like, well, I've always been against long... All of us are against being long-distance from someone we love.
You right. know, when we don't want to. I think some people have, like... I think people have different levels of tolerance for it, though.
Absolutely. But the idea that, like, there are people out there that are like, I love long-distance. No, they were forced into a position, and they're doing the best they can with the position they're in. So I understand where she's saying, I've always avoided long distance relationships. Yeah, we all have. But you've been looking for someone to meet. You found that person. You were enjoying their company. I think what this person should do is let them know. I think you have to like be vulnerable at a certain point. You have to let this person know, hey, I was really enjoying being with you. And it was a relationship that I've never had as a lesbian. Or as a bisexual woman, I'm not sure if she's given herself any type of, label. But mm-hmm. without labeling her, I guess, like, I have never had that type of connection with another woman. And I want to, like, play this out. And I think if you go to her and you say that, then she either agrees or doesn't agree. And then if she agrees, now you make plans. When are you coming to L.A.? When am I coming to New York? And that gives her the opportunity to live a life where she's out in the, you know, out holding hands and feeling more comfortable about her sexuality in a public way. She can come to New York, and then that can lead to her being more comfortable with talking to her parents about it. You know, I think this is like, I think the...
Right. Do you feel like...
Because there's... what I mean
to say
is
just... Do you feel like she needs to be dating someone like... In her mind, I think she's like, oh, it's easier to like have this conversation with people if I'm like sort of like introducing them to my girlfriend, or I'm like, you know what I mean? There's more of a point of like, this is going to like bridge the gap of conversation. So I'm not like, this is going to be like helping me to come out in a more real way.
I understand that feeling. I understand the idea that like, if this person's here, there's nothing to disagree with. Like, oh, there's less explanation.
Or there's less of a, like, I'm I have to just bring it up in, as opposed to I'm introducing you to my girlfriend. And like, that seems like a more natural way to like kind of express who you are.
I guess what you're doing, hey, this is my girlfriend. And then people go, oh, I had, and they would go, oh, I guess, you know, you're dating women now, you know, like, I guess that would be instead of like sitting down a friend and going, I have to tell you something, and them going,
right. Cause she says, I don't want this to be another excuse to hide who I really am when I'm finally just starting to feel comfortable. So I feel like her anxiety with ending it or not being with in person with someone is that it's kind of like she was hoping that that whatever this thing was, this relationship was going to be like helping her to be more authentic in her everyday life.
So I think there's like something important that she's like questioning, and I'm not sure if she's questioning it in this email, but the vibe I am feeling is that, you know, she's saying, hide who I really am when I finally started to feel comfortable. She might be feeling some regret that maybe she's using this person to be able to feel comfortable as an openly gay woman. But I would argue that the people that love is finding someone that makes you feel comfortable. So maybe this person was... It's not the situation, it's the person. So right. Well, if this person is giving you the ability to finally feel comfortable in your own skin because they encourage you in a way, and it's not that they're just any woman, it's this woman is someone that lets her feel more comfortable being in that relationship. And I could understand where she's like, I don't want to use this person to get to my better place mentally, but maybe it is this person that gets you to that place. Does that make sense?
No, that makes sense to me. I think like, but I agree. It's about like, is it this person? Because she does say like, when she talks about like regret at not opening up more in the beginning with her, it's like, maybe she is that person. Maybe she's not someone that you felt like that could help you. Like, you're not, I'm not really sure.
But you don't know that unless you be vulnerable with them. Unless she looks at her and goes, hey, I know with what's going on and my move, and I might not be back till January, but I've never felt more comfortable in my own skin than I felt with you. And I want to keep going down that road. If you would come with me, I'm so excited. If not, I totally understand, but maybe this is the end of us because I need to find someone who can also do that for me here. You know, I think like this is... Again, like the answer to most of these things are communication, but I think I understand where she's like the distance, and there's so many other things, but I think it starts with letting this person know that like this has been an important relationship for me. Like I think anyone, you know, whether it's straight or, you know, lesbian, gay, whatever it might be, whatever your sexual affiliation is, I think you're just looking for someone to like, you know, open up where you feel the best about yourself.
Right. No, that's true. And I mean, like, I think saying that to her is probably like a great practice in vulnerability, which is such a difficult thing to do, to be able to like reveal a part of yourself that's not, you know, that you're not necessarily the most secure about, and to lay your cards on the table is like something that is very hard to do. But the more practice you have with it, like the easier it gets. So I think it seems like she's trying to do that on a lot of different levels. She's trying to do that with this girl. She's trying to do that with her family. She's trying to do that with friends she hasn't told.
It's so much, but it's like, let's do one thing at a time. You know, like I'll give her my own experience. You know, with Jess, when we were first seeing each other, I was traveling every weekend for the, you know, to do a Snapchat show. And I think what I was saying in the beginning of this email, where it's like, once you make the decision, then it's easier to figure out. So like the idea of indecision is the worst decision is like, you know, with Jess, and I say, no, I want to give this a real shot. Then it becomes, come with me to Louisiana because I'm going to be taping that weekend. Right. Hey, I have a trip to New Orleans on Halloween weekend. Would you want to come?
Do you think that's the discussion that comes before the laying my cards on the table discussion,
no,
or that comes after?
I think that comes after. I think once you realize, hey, we're both going to give this a shot. We're both going to like get off of dating apps. We're both going to like figure this. I feel as good about myself when I'm around you. How do we make that happen? It's like a, you know, it's like going to right. like a car. It's like going to like a car dealership.
Well, I feel
how
like
do I get you into this Toyota today?
Well, it's funny because I feel like when we talk about like dating that isn't long distance, your advice sometimes seems like it's the opposite, where it's like just ask for the actions and see if the person is like meeting them. But I do kind of agree that when it comes to like a long distance thing, it's easier to like have the like discussion of like what you are and what you're doing and how you feel before you like commit to flying across the country.
Totally. And it this doesn't have to end with them hating each other. This can end with them going, you know what? I didn't, this was just kind of a hookup to me. And, you know, we're kind of like, you know, I'm going to look for someone here. They might disagree with her, but right. she, I think when it comes to like, I think the only way long distance should happen is the way it's happening for them. Like in my personal opinion,
well, there's an end date. Yeah.
Well, where it starts in the same city, you have a natural meeting, you get together, you hang out. And then all of a sudden, you know, a tidal wave of life comes through and pushes you across the country. You know, COVID comes along and now it's, oh God, we're across the country from one each other. What do we do? Then you go, hey, this is how I feel. I think owning your feelings, owning how, hey, when I know, and I also not apologizing for the FaceTiming, kind of like going off the rails a little bit. That's the reality of relationships. Relationships don't go in a straight line towards marriage. They go up and down and up and down, and that's okay. But I think like saying to this woman, like, hey, when I was with you, I was starting to feel comfortable in my own skin. And that's not because it was just any woman. It's because it was you and we're a good match. I think that's kind of the way to go. If it was me.
Right. Yeah, I get the whole like I don't necessarily want to do long distance thing. And I think if in your heart of hearts, you're kind of like she is like, I don't necessarily like want to be with someone that I'm not going to see for a while. But I guess what you're saying is like find out if she'll come and see you and if it's going to be like a real thing. But I do think there's also something to be said of like, hey, this is like a really weird time in the world. And if she's kind of like, I'm not really sure I want to fully commit to this. Along in that same vein, I think there's something to be said for, like you said, vulnerably saying like, I had a really great time with you. I felt like this was going somewhere. This is a very odd time and we're not going to see each other for this amount of time. Like, what do you think about like seeing where we are when it gets closer to January and like potentially picking this back up?
Well, that too, I think like, again, to go back, I think what you're saying is exactly right. And also like, that's to go back to the first conversation we had on this episode about breakups. Like, this is an experience. You know how you like to feel. When you go out in LA and you start dating other women, now you know kind of the standard you have. You know where you kind of what you. It's like no, having felt good in a relationship is a good thing. Because now you know how you want to feel in future relationships. I think that's perfectly reasonable. If she wants to go the other way where they say, hey, you know, I'm happy to have learned about myself via you. But like, you know, we're going to have to see other people. And then maybe in January when I move back, we revisit this. That could be another answer to it.
I agree.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/betches.
All right, let's do another one.
Let's do another one. Hi, J&J. Longtime listener and promoter of the pod. I've told everyone who has ears to listen, rated, reviewed, subscribe, Insta story. Brought the group chat to your Chicago show last summer. Here's my question. Did I sign all rights away to check in, show concern for a guy after I basically told him we need to cut all ties to one another? Here's the sitch. I had a one-night stand with an older guy I met at a girls' trip in Vegas in March of 2019. I was almost 23 and he was 33. We texted and Snapchatted for a month post-trip. Eventually, plans fell through to try to meet up. He lives in Chicago. I live outside of Milwaukee, about 2 hours away from each other, but not realistic to meet up. He wasn't
not unrealistic. Sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, from a she said 2 hour. Not unrealistic. Okay.
Right.
A double negative. he wasn't living up to the standards for what I wanted in a relationship. Shout out Jared. So I gave up on him. A year of random
for the poster child for not yeah. for not living up to standards in a relationship.
My claim to fame. A year of random snaps, texts, drunk calls go by, and I finally clean house and delete all texts from him in March of 2020. His spidey senses must have alerted him. I moved on, and he drunk called me at 3 a.m. accompanied by a "How are you?" text. I responded to see what he wanted and got no answer. 3 days later, I sent him the following text message. So following text message to cut all ties, which felt great considering I've moved on and I'm trying to date other people. Fast forward to the craziness of June 2020. And I'm wondering if it's okay to reach out to make sure he's okay since he is a police officer on the south side of Chicago. But after that text I sent, did I sign away all rights to ever reach back out? On a scale of one to super bitch, how rude is this of me? Or do I stick to my guns and realize it's best for both parties that we don't get to care how one another is doing anymore? Hope your great wisdom can steer me in the right direction. Man, I got to say, when we said, let us know about your what's going on in the world, your Black Lives Matter related emails. This is not the one I expected, to tell you the truth. I got to say,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but here's the thing. I don't even think this is about that. For this girl, no. I think it's just an excuse. This is like, I think she's using this. She's taking advantage of the situation to do something she wants to do.
Of course.
Without the situation.
Do you want to read
the text? But let's read her.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, I guess.
I'll be him.
On a Saturday night in March at 1 a.m., he said he wrote,
"How are you?"
This is after a missed call.
He's a real poet. Okay.
Yes. This is after a missed call. And then she says the next day at 5 p.m. So the 2 a.m. call was just to see how I was doing. And then cut to 2 days after that. He doesn't answer that. She says, I'm totally confused by the call and text from Sunday. Whatever this is has now been going on for a year. And until recently, I'd been trying to hold on to something that wasn't ever going to happen. We are both guilty of randomly popping in every few months. And to be honest, I'm emotionally exhausted by it. Totally owning that I probably said/did things that were confusing. And I apologize for that. I don't want to waste any more of my time or yours. And I think it's best if we stop contacting each other. Honestly, I hope you got the promotion at work and wishing you nothing but the best.
Yeah. I have some thoughts. She should not text him.
We're definitely aligned on that.
Yeah. Don't text him. It's over. You let him know. I think also. Right.
He didn't answer that text.
He didn't answer that text. But also he writes, "How are you?" And then you write, "So the 2 a.m. call was just to see how I was doing." Even that text is you hoping for him to go, "Nope, I'm moving to Milwaukee. We're going to be together forever." Like, even that text kind of tells me that vibe.
Right.
Like, that you're still hanging on to hope. And I do understand, like, why you sent the next text, because the next text makes sense. It's you kind of just, like, this is over for me.
I need to like close this. Right.
This is closed. And I actually agree with that text. When you
I think
go
that
back,
text, yeah, I think that yeah. text was perfectly, it was vulnerable. It said what she wanted to say. She put it all out there and she ended things. So I thought that was a great text.
And it offered him no redemption for like, oh, I can reach out to you with another, how are you? I agree. The thinking of him now, like, I think you're going to go back on the same roller coaster you chose to get off. So
right.
You chose to get off of the how are yous, off of the half promises, off of the he's close enough for us to try, but he doesn't want to try. You got to relieve yourself of all of those anxieties that come with someone who's not really adding up to your standard. And this is you buying another ticket to the ride if you say to him, hope you're okay. Because there's really nowhere else for that conversation to go but to let him know that the door has
door
now
is open again.
Yeah, again.
Right. And just to say that I totally understand the urge because I've been there and I've done it and I've reached out after I've thought I've closed things. And like, it really is just a testament to like how when you're in something, you really can't see it very clearly, and how like when you're feeling really lonely, and I think that's what you have to just admit to yourself. Like, I'm feeling really lonely. I wish that I had someone that I could talk to. Even I would even take this guy that I know has not been consistent and is probably not going to turn into anything real. Like, maybe there's a chance and I'm so lonely that I really just like want to open that door again. And for a second it will feel good because like the person will probably respond. And I've done this again. Like, I've ended things and then I've texted again, undoing all the work.
Mm-hmm,
And I get the rationale because it feels better than nothing. And it feels like, it feels like a hit that you need to just like get through the day. And especially during like this kind of time, I think it's like, there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of loneliness and there's a feeling of like, I just want like some sort of like connection. Mm-hmm. So I get the total feeling of like why she wants to.
Yeah. And to say it's like, because of what's going on, like you're using that as an excuse. Like,
right.
You know, I don't think this is, you know, it'd be a different story if he posted on, you know, if you guys were still Facebook friends and he posted that he's gotten some sort of a disease and he's got like whatever, you know,
right.
That's a different story where you go, hey, saw your post. Just want to acknowledge, like, I hope you're doing okay and my thoughts are with you. That's an open and closed thing. To say like, how you been? Crazy times, weird times, huh? Like, you are on a whole and you're just again opening the door, and what you said is exactly right. Like, it is not
and now it's not about, I think she's phrasing it as like, oh, like, am I being rude? But that's not at all the issue here.
No, you're not being rude.
Rudeness is not what's like the issue. It's
you're doing here. You're signing up for another year of being annoyed.
Yeah. You're just prolonging. You're like you're basically just like not letting the wound heal. You're just keep reopening it, and then you
also, the worst part about these texts is that you're also putting him in a position to seem like a good guy again. Like you're letting him. What's he gonna? He's not gonna respond. What up, you fucking asshole that wrote me that bullshit text? He's gonna be. This is the thing. There are so many people out there that are going to be, especially when you reach out to them, it's human nature to not want conflict. He will be perfectly agreeable. He'll be perfectly nice. He'll ask how you're doing. He'll say, oh my God, remember Vegas? And you'll go, it'll only be refreshing.
It'll feel good.
The good parts, the good memories. But he'll never say to you, hey, it was so good of you to text. Now I'm going to text you whenever I'm horny. Like, he's never going to say that to you. And that's really what it will end up being.
Yeah. And I mean, again, like, just to give her a sense, like, my own story, my own past in dealing with this, like, I've been pretty open about the fact that I was, like, kind of on a roller coaster of, like, this kind of thing with someone for, like, many years. And I didn't hear from him. I remember, like, at one point after I hadn't heard from him, like, 2 years, started it again. And I remember telling my brother, I was like, you don't understand. Like, he texted, like, we're going to see each other. Like,
yeah,
I was like so excited or whatever. I was excited, but I was like, what does this mean? Whatever, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, he said something that I still remember, which is just like, listen, like, this is never going to be a thing. And like, it's okay if you want to like answer this and like get into this and like do that. But like, if you want a real relationship, if you want to like something that's real and not like this and like doesn't make you feel like this all the time and it's not ups and downs, like, this isn't it. So if you're ready, yeah, when you're ready for that, then like, then you'll realize that you shouldn't be like engaging with this anymore. But if you're not, then like, it's totally fine to keep doing this. I'm just like not going to entertain the fact that like this is going to be a real thing.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to start at the beginning of the video game. You can't just like, you know, do the cheat code to start at level 6. That's a cheat code. And this is kind of a version of that where you're like, well, I'm not on the dating apps anymore, but I am talking to that guy from before. It's like, yeah, but that ain't going to get you to the next level. You got to start from the beginning and get all of the special rings on the course that let you go to the end of the game.
Right. And that's harder to, it's harder to do because no one wants to cut their losses. But
no,
like, at the end of the day, it's harder work, but in the end, it pays off a lot more.
Let's play some games. You ready?
Let's do it.
UUP at Betches.com. Let's do it.
So someone writes in, she goes, a guy I dated has his new girlfriend's Insta handle and his Insta bio, and she has his initials in hers, 7th grade AIM profile style. So let's say they say to you, I want to put, what's your middle name?
Lewis.
I want to put JLF, Jess is like, I want to put JLF heart in my Instagram bio, and I would like you to do the same for me.
I don't know how I got on this, like, this algorithm on TikTok, but for some reason, I only see on my For You page on TikTok all of these types of couples, like all couples that got married at 22.
That just goes to show you how young TikTok is.
Too. Oh, it's all like 22-year-old couples with 7 kids already, and they love God, and they somehow have a mansion. And I'm like, I don't know how I got here, but all of them feel like they're aliens from another planet to me, and I would deal breaker. I don't need.
Is it a deal breaker if she even asks, or is it just a deal breaker if she like? It's really important to her.
Like if her bio was just like JLF's girl, mama to like the dog account, you know, like, yeah, like all that shit. I'd be like, that wouldn't make me end it. But I'd be like, what are you? I'd make fun of her to no ends.
What if she asked you to do it on yours?
I would say if that's a problem for you, then you're going to have to leave. And I'm keeping the apartment in this. Well, what about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I don't even know if there's like a real principled reason behind it. It's just one of those things that I think is like a little tacky.
It's tacky. I think I'm with you too. I don't know. It's like, are you on TikTok? You just joined Twitter. You'll probably be there in 8 years.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm very, very behind the times. I'm not on TikTok. I've been on Twitter for 3 days. So I'm just trying to get used to that.
TikTok is like eye opening. Like it is it's really I understand why it's fun for people, but I look at it and I'm like I definitely know how I can be funny on there, but I don't think anyone wants my version of funny on there. Do you know what I mean?
What kind of funny is it? Like slapstick?
Well, there's a lot of like production value and a lot of these things, but like I would want to do videos where like I'm, you know, kind of being bullshitty, you know, like what I do on Instagram. Like I would want to like, you know, be, you know, like kind of like the guy who makes fun of The Bachelor type of shit. Like I like doing that stuff. It feels like the type of funny that's done on the funny I see on TikTok is like the girl walking to the living room with a sign that says going to yell at my boyfriend for no reason. And you're like, okay, I like, it just feels like everyone's on TikTok is showing off in that tacky way that we're talking about. Like where it's like wife to this, husband to this. I have 7 kids and yes, I'm 22 and don't ask any questions about that at all. You know, you're like, okay, I don't know.
Well, if they want to follow you on TikTok, what's your handle?
I'm Wizard of Haas. That's my TikTok handle.
All right, let's do another
Let's do another. Okay. Boyfriend of 2+ years, 30 and 25. Get a large 3-bed bath apartment with one friend for a summer in Rhode Island and said, we'll have to figure out how to get you back and forth after being quarantined together for 3 months. Wait a minute. Boyfriend of 2+ years and they're 30 and 25. Get a large 3-bedroom bath apartment with one friend for a summer in Rhode Island and said, we'll have to figure out how to get you back and forth after being quarantined together for three. So basically he's like,
have a good summer. Yeah, he and his friend is like, I'm going to Rhode Island with my friend and like, come visit, you know?
And you're out.
Am I out?
No, I'm saying that
she's basically out.
Yeah, you're out. I, if you want to use the beach, we'll have to discuss, you know, how you'll pay for your bed in the
right,
the,
Venmo me. We'll see if I can sublet.
Yeah, what do you say?
I think I do feel like sometimes guys just say a lot of dumb shit. So I would have to clarify that he meant like, you're actually like, you don't want me to come as opposed to, because sometimes I think that guy's original like snap thought doesn't involve you like immediately.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then
I agree.
I've been one to like freak out at those things that just kind of wind up being like misunderstandings or them not like, they're like, oh shit. Yeah, of course you're coming or something like that. But I think if you clarified.
And you too, bitch. Yeah.
Right. But if the guy was like not actually like in, like thinking that I was going to be there, I think that would be a red flag in the relationship.
Yeah, I mean, if Jess looked at me and was like, "Hey, I got a house with my girls at the beach." I'd be like, "Okay. That was a decision, I guess. Yeah. Good luck. Have fun." I don't know. It would be a red flag. It'd be a little weird, especially 2 years. You're like,
right. Like, that's what I'm saying.
There's a point in a relationship where like the decisions we go from me to we. And
well,
if
that's
someone
the
has
a we conversation.
Yeah, if someone hasn't made that trip, you have to, that's a talk.
Right. Well, Michael sometimes will he'll say something, he'll talking to his friends and be like, or we'll be in a conversation. He'll be like, yeah, I've got a wedding like next week. I'm like, we have a wedding that we are attending next week.
Or see, that to me is not a problem because he's just like, that's just how he talks. Like I would, the right. more pressing issue would be if he's like, yeah, I'm going to go to that wedding and just like didn't acknowledge that you would be his date.
Right. That would be like the deal breaker, the venturing into the deal breaker category. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because he'll be like, yeah, you could name you could whatever with your kid on that. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, what do you mean my kid? Like our kid.
Our child.
Who am I having this kid with?
Yeah, well.
It's a non-existent kid.
Well, I'll see if he'll stick around. I'll see if he likes the dude.
We'll find out. last one. Just every time you walk out of the bathroom, they ask if you've washed your hands.
Oof. Sounds like someone I'm living with. it's not a deal breaker, obviously. But it is, it is annoying because I think for guys, like the idea of like, did you wash your hands? It's like, just leave me the fuck alone. You know, like I don't. What?
Well, guys, I feel like guys almost like being nagged a little bit just because it makes them feel like a sense of like protection. Maybe that's just in my own head.
Well, I have left the bathroom and then Jess will be like, I didn't hear the faucet run. And I'll be like,
right, that's how we slowly turn into your moms.
Yeah. And you get a little embarrassed and then you don't want to be told what to do. So you're just like, well, I'm not washing my hands. And then you're like, I should probably like. Everyone knows they should wash their hands, but also like I've gone to the bathroom and like not touched anything. Like touching my penis with no is the same as touching my shoulder to me.
But doesn't urine come out of your penis? I guess you're not touching the hole.
But if I don't touch the urine, if none gets on me, what are we doing? We're just performing. But I do understand that you're like, well, this is an opportunity to wash your hands when you wouldn't have had it otherwise. So someone could be like, it's always nice to wash your hands than to not. I guess it's the right. Like the idea that every time I go to the bathroom, there's like someone at the door with a glass, just like, you know, like just kind of
right. Like your babysitter or something like that. Yeah. I think public restroom, if someone, if I had a feeling that someone wasn't doing it after like a public restroom, I might say something. But other than
the public restroom is worse to me, because the public restroom is like, you didn't wash your hands. And then everyone in the restaurant's like, oh, look at that idiot. You know,
there's COVID going on. We've got to wash your hands.
How could you?
How many seconds did you
And then sadly, happy birthday.
Are you supposed to say it slow? I've been doing it wrong.
I don't know. I've done everything wrong, I think.
Yeah. Anyway, that's our show.
That's our show. Jordana, fantastic episode per usual.
As always.
For the listeners at home, keep sharing the show. Keep letting people know. We love hearing from you. It feels so good when you let us know that you're enjoying. So let us know. We'll be back next episode. Is that cool?
Go with me. Okay. See you next week.
You Up is hosted by Jared Fried.
And Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Abby Lloyd. Artwork by Brittany Levine.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at UUPpod on Instagram and email your questions to UUP@Betches.com.
Betches.